my apologies because I no speak English, but my husband try for me. I am speak now Spanish, but my husband speak English for you. I try speak very clearly for you understand the message de today. Hoy día, el tema es te devolveré todo lo que es tuyo.
As you can see on your screen, today's title of the message is I will return everything that was yours.
Estén muy atentos.
I encourage you to pay close attention to God's word.
Porque hoy día aprenderemos cosas maravillosas.
There's beautiful promises, marvelous promises that God's word has for us to learn today.
Pero antes de poder hablar,
but before we can speak,
vamos a orar para que el Espíritu Santo pueda ayudarnos a abrir nuestro corazón y poder entender qué es lo que Él nos desea dar.
Before we speak, we're going to spend a moment in prayer and ask God to open our hearts and our minds so that we can truly understand what it is He has prepared for us today.
Okay.
Let us pray.
Padre nuestro que estás en las alturas de los cielos.
Our Father who art in the heights of the heavens.
Te damos gracias, Señor, por la oportunidad de abrir tu palabra.
It is a privilege today that we thank you for that we can open your holy word.
Señor, queremos que tu Espíritu Santo esté en medio nuestro.
We pray for your Holy Spirit to be in our midst.
Que al estudiar tu mensaje,
and as we study your message,
Señor, podamos entender cada palabra que tú tienes para nosotros.
We ask that we would understand every word that you have for us today.
Gracias, Señor, por tu amor y tu misericordia que tienes a cada uno de nosotros.
Thank you for the love and the mercy that you have shown to each and every one of us.
Quédate con nosotros.
And please be with us.
En el nombre de Jesús.
It is in Jesus' name that we pray.
Amén.
Amen.
¿Alguna vez tú has hecho alguna promesa?
Have any of you ever made a promise?
¿Sí? ¿Qué es promesa?
So what exactly is a promise?
¿Qué es promesa?
What's a promise?
Promesa es cumplir algo que has ofrecido a alguien.
A promise is when you make an offer to someone and keep that particular offer or that pledge.
Y cuando tú prometes, lo cumples.
And when you make that promise, it's important to keep the promise.
Porque cuando tú no cumples, nadie ya cree en tu palabra.
Because if you make a promise and don't keep your word, no one will believe you.
Pero a veces sucede,
but sometimes some things happen,
que cuando tú prometes algo,
sometimes when you make a promise,
pasan el tiempo,
time passes by,
pasan los años,
and years might even pass by,
y tú te olvidaste,
and you forgot that you had made that promise.
Y es difícil a veces cumplir las promesas que hacemos.
And sometimes it truly is difficult to complete or to fulfill the pledges and promises that we have made.
Si la promesa es en corto tiempo,
if the promise is made with a reasonably short understanding of time,
es más fácil de cumplirlo.
It's easier to complete that because it's fresh in our minds.
Pero si es en mucho tiempo después,
but if the promise is made for a long time out,
oh, ahí tenemos problema.
We might run into problems.
Especialmente las personas que rapidito se olvidan.
Especially those among us who have a mind that forgets things very quickly.
Oh, porque se meten problemas.
We really can get ourselves into problems.
Les contaré una historia para que entiendan con claridad.
I want to share a story with you to help us understand with clarity.
Pero hay varios tipos de promesa también.
There's a number of different types of promises.
Cuando tú haces promesa,
when you make a promise,
¿qué hacen los chicos?
What when a child makes a promise, what do we often see them do?
Dame tu dedo. ¿Ah? Yeah.
Pinky promise.
Pinky promise. O el pacto del dedo que dicen.
Or in Spanish, it's a finger pact.
Yeah.
A finger pact.
Después hacemos en el transcurso de los del tiempo,
and with the passage of time from those younger years,
hacemos otra clase de promesa muy importante.
There's other types of very important promises that we make.
Oh, en este sí que no te puedes olvidar.
And on this particular type of promise that we're speaking about, we really can't forget.
Necesitas cumplirlo.
We've got to remember
porque
to whom we have made the
porque
promise.
Hemos cumplido delante de Dios.
Because that's a promise that we didn't just make with a finger pact. It's a promise that we made before God.
Porque lo que unió Dios,
because what God joins together,
no lo separa el hombre.
Man has no power to separate.
Esta es una linda promesa que debemos siempre tener en mente.
It's a beautiful promise that we make, that we should keep before our minds all times.
Okay, quedamos ahí.
So with that in mind,
les cuento la historia.
I want to share the story with you.
Ben,
a young man named Ben.
Ben, ustedes lo ven en la pantalla.
You see him there on the screen.
Ben and Mary
had a friend named Mary.
Eran buenos amigos cuando estaban en primaria.
And when they were in primary school, they were best of friends.
Ben todo el tiempo protegía a Mary.
And Ben, because of the needs that he observed, was a continual protector of his young friend named Mary.
Porque todos los chicos no querían juntarse con Mary.
He noticed that many of the other young children didn't want to spend time with Mary and didn't want to be her friend.
Pero Ben siempre estaba ahí para ayudarle y conversar con ella.
But Ben made a decision that he was always going to be there next to Mary to protect her and to help her and to share that special time with her.
Un día Ben,
one day,
Ben, cuando estaban en cuarto grado de primaria,
when they were in the fourth grade,
Ben le dice a Mary,
he said to his friend Mary,
Mary, cuando yo me gradúe de high school,
Mary, when we come to the time of our prom and we graduate high school,
te voy a buscar.
I am going to look for you.
Y tú vas a ser mi pareja en mi graduación.
And on that night of our graduation, I will take you to the prom.
Mary se rió.
At that time, fourth grade, 9 years old, Mary smiled.
Pasaron el tiempo.
Of course, time passed by.
¿Se habrá acordado Ben? ¿Qué será?
With the years going by, would Ben remember his promise?
Y toca la puerta. De un día después que Ben terminó high school.
And at the time when Ben was coming, when these two young people were coming to the point of their graduation, just before graduation time, a knock came on Mary's door.
Le dice, Mary.
And the voice said, Mary.
Vengo para invitarte a mi fiesta de graduación.
I've come to give you an invitation to accompany me to my prom.
¿Recuerdas que te dije en cuarto grado?
Do you remember years ago I made a promise to you when we were just 9 years old and in the fourth grade?
Y Mary, I remember start crying.
And Mary, of course, filled with emotion, began to cry as she remembered the promise and now recognized that the promise would be kept.
Aquí vemos a Mary with Ben.
And here you see, and this is a true story, you see Mary going to her prom with Ben. Going to his prom with her, with him.
Promesa de amigos.
It was a promise made between friends.
Cuando eres muy buenos amigos,
and when you are good friends with somebody,
es muy difícil de no cumplir promesas.
It becomes increasingly difficult to intentionally break your promises.
El hermano de Mary,
Mary's brother,
le dice a Ben,
said to Ben,
Ben, Mary nunca olvidará lo que tú has hecho hoy día.
He said to him after the night of that prom, Ben, Mary will never forget what you have done for her tonight.
Porque en este día,
because in this day,
tú hiciste recordar a Mary,
you caused her to remember,
que hay personas lindas y buenas como
that
tú.
There truly are good people. In this world.
Que puedo confiar en ellas.
People who she can truly trust.
Igual que esta historia de Ben y Mary.
Just like the promise made between Ben and Mary in this story.
En la Biblia encontramos una maravillosa historia de promesa.
There's a story in the Bible that actually contains for us a beautiful promise as well.
En Primera de Samuel,
in the book of 1 Samuel,
capítulo 18,
chapter 18,
versículo del 1 al 4,
reading from verse 1 to verse 4.
Te invito a que abras tu Biblia.
I want to invite you to take a Bible. There's Bibles there in front of you. Take one of those. The texts are not on the screen. for the Bible passages during the message today.
Yeah.
1 Samuel chapter 18, we'll be reading verses 1 to 4.
Tú no cierres tu Biblia, tenlo abierta porque todo el rato vamos a estar leyendo textos en textos en textos.
And once we finish reading this passage, don't close it. Keep it open. We're going to be continually referring to the words of the Bible today.
Para que no te pierdas en dónde queremos ir.
And you won't lose your place where we are. You'll be able to follow along as we continue our story. Reading now 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 4, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle."
Jonathan hizo buena amistad con David.
There is probably no other place where we see such a close friendship in the Bible as this. They made a close friendship.
Yo siento que Jonathan era un chico que no tenía muchos amigos.
It seems perhaps that Jonathan, or maybe we might be led to believe, that Jonathan was one of these young men who didn't have many close friendships.
Porque era el hijo del rey.
Because he was a person of position. He was the king, he was the son of the king.
Y es muy difícil que el hijo del rey salga y juegue con los demás.
And when you're the son of the king, it's very difficult for you to have that time out playing on the street corner or out in the fields with all of the other boys who would have been considered lower status or more common.
Entonces pienso que Jonathan era un chico solitario.
And so this leads us to believe that perhaps Jonathan may have grown up, at least during the time of Saul's reign, as a boy who spent much time alone.
Pero cuando conoció a David,
but when he came to know David,
y David fue a la casa del rey a vivir,
and David moved into the house of the king by the king's command to live and minister there,
tuvo un amigo.
There became a bond and there grew a friendship between them.
Y con rapidez hicieron amistad.
And this friendship was made tightly, tight-knit friendship between David and Jonathan, the son of the king.
La Biblia dice que Jonathan y David fueron inseparables.
And the Bible seems to indicate to us that Jonathan and David had such a friendship that they actually were inseparable as friends.
Yeah. Pienso que iban a todos lados juntos, compartían cosas juntos.
They shared things together, they went and traveled together, they did the business of the kingdom together.
En la Biblia,
here in the Bible,
nos cuenta que el rey Saúl,
it tells us that King Saul,
empezó a tener celos a David.
Started to have the feelings of jealousy toward this younger man, David.
Pero Jonathan era amigo de David.
But his own son, Jonathan, was the best friend of David.
Y todo le contaba, todo, quiero que te protejas, por favor, mi papá te quiere matar.
And the time came as the boys grew older and became young men that Jonathan would share with David, "David, I want to protect you, I want to help you. My father is jealous, my father actually wants to take your life."
Pero ahí es Jonathan que hace una promesa muy grande e importante con David.
And it's in this particular point in time, at this experience in their lives, that Jonathan made a promise to David. Something very important that actually meant life or death.
Okay. En Primera de Samuel.
And here in the book of 1 Samuel.
Capítulo 20.
Looking at chapter 20 now.
A partir del 13 al 17.
Looking at verse 13.
Ya, vamos a esperar que todos los tenga.
Let's turn our Bibles there. 1 Samuel chapter 20, starting our reading now in verse 13.
Yeah.
The Bible says, "The Lord do so and much more to Jonathan, but if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it to thee, and send thee away that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee as he has been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul.
Le hizo, "Prométeme que tú vas a tener misericordia con mi gente si yo muero," le dijo Jonathan.
Jonathan said to David, "Would you please, David, please have mercy, have kindness, have compassion on my family when you rise in the kingdom."
Y cuando ellos estaban despidiéndose porque David estaba perseguido por el rey Saúl.
And when the people of the kingdom under King Saul, my father, are following and chasing after you.
Jonathan le vuelve a decir otras palabras bonitas a David.
Jonathan shared other beautiful words with King David.
Y le dice en el versículo 42.
We move down to verse 42. The Bible says, "And Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.' And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city."
Y nunca más se volvieron a ver.
And they never saw each other again.
Buenos amigos.
Good friends.
Pero ahí se despidieron, Jonathan fue por su lado y David fue por su otro lado.
But here in this passage we see how they said goodbye one to another as one went one way and another went a different direction.
Qué difícil para los buenos amigos separarse de una relación que estaba tan cerca.
How difficult it must have been for Jonathan and for David, who had such a close friendship, a beautiful relationship that they had developed as friends, that they would now have to break that opportunity to continue that friendship because one was going one direction and another. How difficult it is for friends to separate from one another.
Yo entiendo esta separación.
I understand this type of separation.
Porque cuando tú haces amigos, estás en un lugar y ya tienes buenos amigos, a mi papá le cambiaban a otra ciudad.
As a pastor's daughter, I went through it many times. We lived in different communities, and as there would be times we lived in one place and we would make those friendships as children. Then the next word we would hear with having those friendships developed is that my father would be transferred to a new town or a new church community, and there we would have to see those friendships be broken as we were taken away from each other.
Y siempre habría la promesa, no te olvides de escribirme cuando estás lejos.
And at that time, you'd always hear the promise being said one to another, the reminder, don't forget to write me, don't forget about me, as we're separating from one another now.
Empezaba escribiendo un mes, dos meses, tres meses, hasta que conseguía amigos, me olvidaba del amigo.
And the way that it would work is that oftentimes you'd start those letters, you'd write those letters 1 month, and the letter would come back, you'd write another, and then another one would come back, and maybe 2 or 3 or 4 months along the journey, and then by that point, we were now established in another community, I'd have new friends, and oftentimes I'd forget to write those letters anymore.
Yeah. Y mis amigas también ya no me escribían.
And it would be the same thing, because the friends that were writing me, they would stop writing when they found new friends as well.
Entonces, es difícil a veces separarnos de los seres a que nosotros amamos y queremos.
And it's difficult at times for us to separate from those that we care about, those that have formed good bonds and friendships with us.
¿Estás entendiendo la historia?
Have you followed the story of David and Jonathan thus far?
Nos quedamos en la promesa.
We've left them making a promise one to another.
Yeah.
At the time of their separation.
Un día, cuando David ya fue rey.
Finally, now some years later, when David has risen to the position of king of Israel.
Habían pasado muchos años.
A number of years have passed by.
Y pienso que David, en su soledad también como rey.
David probably had much time alone to think as king, as he sat on his throne, considering the affairs of the kingdom.
Vino a su mente el recuerdo de su amigo Jonathan.
And probably there were many times as he sat there and considered the friendship of the past, the experiences he had with his good friend Jonathan.
Y él empezó a recordar.
And he began to remember.
de la promesa que habían hecho como amigos.
About the friendship that they had and the promise that they made in that friendship one to another.
Y él, haciendo memoria de todos los acontecimientos que había pasado desde que habían hecho la promesa hasta ahora.
And David began to remember from the time of that promise all of the things that had happened in his life, all of the things that had happened since they had separated one from another.
Y él recordaba la triste separación que habían tenido con su amigo y empezó, ¿habrá alguien que habrá quedado de la familia de Saúl?
He knew that Saul, he knew that Jonathan had lost their lives in battle, but he began to think about the promise he had made, because it wasn't just a promise between he and Jonathan, it was a promise between their families. He thought to himself, could there be anybody of Jonathan's family remaining? Could there be anyone left that was related to my close friend?
Queden ahí, voy a contar un poquito para que entiendan esto.
So hold that thought. David's thoughts about Jonathan and how he could continue to keep the promise.
Cuando Saúl murió, el rey Saúl murió.
Stepping back in time, thinking now at the time when King Saul died.
La gente que trabajaba por el rey Saúl.
The people who worked under King Saul.
Algunos escaparon de miedo.
Some left and ran and escaped for fear.
Y la nana que cuidaba al hijo pequeño de Jonatán.
And there was a nanny in the household of Jonathan, the household of the king, who was actually caring for the youngest child of Jonathan, a young baby at that time.
Ella escuchó que había muerto Saúl.
And this nanny in the household of the kingdom heard that the king had been killed in battle.
Ella pensó y dijo, tal vez van a venir y me van a quitar al hijo de Jonatán.
And this nanny began to think about the protection that she was hired to give to this little baby, the son of Jonathan, the prince. And she began to think, if the king has been killed, then maybe the enemies will come and they will try to vanquish all from the kingdom and remove the king's seed completely, including this little baby.
Y lo cogió al niño.
And so she picked up this child.
Y empezó a correr.
And she began to run.
Y mientras ella corría,
and as she ran,
el niño cayó.
Something happened that the baby slipped out of her arms and fell to the ground.
Y el niño quedó malogrado de sus dos piernas.
And that little child ended up having something go wrong, whether they were broken or other circumstance. He was infirmed in his legs for the rest of his life.
Empezó a crecer, pero no caminaba bien, no caminaba.
He began to grow, but he never learned to walk right.
Entonces, ahí es donde David dice, ¿habrá quedado alguien en la casa de Saúl?
And now, after some years, David, there on the throne, thinking about the promise, he begins to think and ask himself, is there anybody left of Saul's household? Is there anybody left related to Jonathan, my friend?
Busquen en Segunda de Samuel.
And so now we take our Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel, some years later.
Chapter 9.
The ninth chapter.
Verse
1
and 13.
Todos vamos a leer.
Vamos a leer, versículo por versículo analizando para que sigas la historia.
Let's follow the story as we begin reading now in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 9, verse 1, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?
¿Qué dicen el segundo?
Verse 2 says, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, are you Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he.
Y le dice a él, a Ziba, hey, ¿habrá alguien que ha quedado de la familia de Saúl? ¿Habrá alguien?
When this servant Ziba came in before the king, he asked him the question there in verse 3. Ziba, is there anyone left of Saul's house that I may show kindness unto him?
Y Ziba le responde, vean en el versículo 3.
You see at the end of verse 3, Ziba's response as he says, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet.
Yeah. Hay uno.
There is one boy. One child of your friend Jonathan.
Pero está que no camina.
But he doesn't walk.
En ese tiempo, las personas que eran minusválidas, ciegos, cojos, mudos, eran como algo, como un objeto que no sirve.
Unfortunately, the history of individuals with disabilities, it was not in Bible times as it is perhaps today in the advancements that we've made giving respect to all peoples. But in this particular point in time, someone who would have been in this son of Jonathan's condition, crippled in his legs, or if someone was a mute, or someone was deaf, they were moved aside in society. They were not given the respect as human beings, but rather treated at, in cases such as objects that needed to be just moved aside and cared for only because of obligation.
Yeah. Y le dice, sí, pero es cojo.
There is one child of Jonathan, but he doesn't walk.
¿De qué te va a servir? ¿De qué sirve?
What's he good for? How does he help you? You're the king.
¿Mm? Pero él dice en el capítulo, en el versículo 1.
But in verse 1 of this chapter that we have just read.
¿Ha quedado alguno en la casa de Saúl a quien yo haga misericordia por amor a Jonatán?
You notice David's words are, is there anyone left of Saul's house that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake?
¿Qué es misericordia?
What is this kindness? What is this mercy that David wanted to show?
Es una palabra bien grande.
It truly is a word that encompasses much.
En el lenguaje español,
in the Spanish language,
misericordia es tener compasión.
The word in the Bible here where we have kindness in English is the word mercy. And the word mercy in Spanish is a word that brings in the understanding of great compassion.
Pero no es una compasión pequeña. Es una compasión que tú necesitas involucrarte con el otro.
It's not a compassion that just comes into the heart and it's a passing feeling. The word in the language, in the Spanish language, mercy, actually entails the concept of having to do something because you feel this way for that other person.
Y aquí en la Biblia dice misericordia por el amor de Jonatán.
And here this word kindness is that word mercy, that connotation of mercy, that compassion to show.
Es tener simpatía, empatía, sentir lo que él siente.
To show sympathy, to feel empathy, to understand where someone else is and to act in such a way that benefits their cause.
Entonces él dice misericordia.
And so David asks, is there anyone that I can show kindness, I can show mercy toward for Jonathan's sake?
Y recuerdan del pacto que hicieron cuando eran jovencitos, ¿se acuerdan?
And he remembers, and now we need to remember the promise that they made. Why is David seeking to do this? Because of that promise.
Entonces él se le vino la pregunta grande a David.
And so there comes then the question, the large question to David.
En el versículo 4.
In verse 4.
Y dice, ¿dónde está?
And so David asks the question, where is he?
Y Ziba respondió.
And Ziba responds to him and says, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar.
El Lodebar era un lugar muy despreciable, pobre, donde todo... No era como vivir cómodamente en ese lugar.
The place called Lodebar here in the Bible passage is a place where it was not the highest standard of the kingdom at that time. It wasn't the conditions of Jerusalem, the conditions of the palace, but rather a place that had been left to go down. More ghetto style than the kingdom certainly would have been accustomed to in Jerusalem. A place of poverty.
Yeah. Y el rey en el versículo 5.
And here in verse 5.
¿Qué dice?
In verse 5.
Yeah, ¿qué dice?
It says that David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar.
Y lo trajeron al hijo de Jonatán, que su nombre es Mephibosheth.
And so this son of Jonathan named Mephibosheth was now called for and brought from that low place into the presence of the king.
Recuerden que la nana que cargaba al niño corrió de miedo por los enemigos Y Mefiboset venía con una carga emocional fuerte.
Remember that the reason that Mephibosheth is in this disabled state is because the nanny who was caring for him at the time of the death of King Saul had run with the baby to escape the enemies of the king. And now there's a new king on the throne. You can imagine the emotional baggage that Mephibosheth brings with him as he comes into the presence of the king who replaced his grandfather.
Tal vez me ha mandado a llamar para matarme.
Possibly he comes with fear, thinking that maybe the king, having discovered that I was off in this distant corner of the kingdom, am still alive, and maybe he wants to finish off the household of Saul and kill me too.
Porque han matado a mi abuelo. Él es un usurpador, que es una persona que está ocupando el lugar de mi abuelo.
This is a king who maybe had been considered at that point in time by some who really appreciated Saul to be a usurper, one who came into his place after Saul had gone out without much glory.
Pero cuando vino Mefiboset caminando.
And when Mephibosheth comes in with his crutches, making his way into the presence of the king.
Pienso que Mefiboset entró a la presencia del rey, todo temeroso.
It's possible that he came in filled with fear, perhaps trembling as he entered and approached the king.
Con muchas ideas, confusión en su cabeza.
Confusion and all the thoughts and uncertainties flying through his head and his heart.
¿Qué va a pasar conmigo ahora?
What possibly can the king want to do with me today?
Pero en el versículo 7 dice.
When we look at chapter 9, verse 7. David says to Mephibosheth, "Fear not. Don't be afraid," he says, "for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually."
¿Qué? ¿Cómo?
What type of statement was this? You can imagine the shock that he was experiencing.
Imagínense un hombre cojo, sin valor, sin valoración, que ahora le dice, mira, te voy a devolver todo lo que es tuyo.
And here he receives a word. You can understand Mephibosheth's situation. He lived in a place of poverty. His experience had been one of disability. He had not been appreciated, not been valued. And now in the presence of the king, he receives the promise. He actually receives the fulfillment of a promise that everything that was due him for his family's line is about to be returned, and that he himself would live in the presence of the king.
¿Y qué dice en el capítulo 8? En el versículo 8.
Look at verse 8. It says, "And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am?"
Con la expresión, ¿qué, cómo te fijas en este perro muerto?
The expression that Mephibosheth uses is to call himself a dead dog.
Ahí mismo podemos darnos cuenta que Mefiboset, la valoración como persona que tenía, estaba en los suelos.
You can understand, as Mephibosheth says these words, how he felt about himself. The history of years and the experience he went through shows what type of evaluation he had of himself, and perhaps what others had told him about himself. His self-esteem, his self-worth is on the floor.
Imagínense. Dice, soy perro.
Imagine.
Perro muerto.
Himself a dead dog.
Aquí tú no ves perros andando en la calle.
Here in this community, it's a rare occasion where you see groups of wild dogs or freed dogs roaming through the streets.
Pero en mi país tú ves en cantidad.
But in Peru, you will find dogs roaming the streets by the multitude.
Y a veces con enfermedades.
And sometimes you see these dogs wild, without homes, without owners, roaming through the streets, some of them sick, some of them crippled.
Y cuando tú a veces estás yendo por el camino y ves a cantidad de perros, no es solo uno, dos, a veces ves 20, 30 perros a montón.
And sometimes as you may be walking down the street, heading from one place to another, a pack of these dogs will come into your presence. We're not talking one or two or three dogs. Sometimes upwards of 20 dogs roaming the streets together creates a feeling of uncertainty and fear.
A veces tú tienes que y el secreto nos han enseñado a nosotros.
And one of the secrets that they taught us as children growing up.
Quédate quieto.
Stay still.
No muevas.
Don't move.
No tengas miedo.
Don't express any fear.
es hasta que los perros pasen.
Let those dogs pass you by.
Porque ellos huelen cuando tú estás de miedo.
Because those dogs understand when you're afraid.
Entonces el secreto era estar quieto.
So the secret was, see the pack of dogs, stay still.
Y pasa todos los perros.
Let the pack of dogs pass by.
Muchas veces he sido correteada por perros enfermos.
And I don't know how many times that I was chased by dogs as a young child, as a girl, and dogs who weren't healthy dogs, dogs who were sick ones.
Y son perros que no tienen valor.
Dogs that nobody cares about.
No tienen valor.
No, the dogs that don't have any value to anybody.
Y Mefiboset, pienso que se sentía así como esa cantidad de perros caminando en la calle sin comer.
Mephibosheth there calls himself in the presence of the king the same thing that I saw so many times out on the street. Nothing more, he says, than a dead dog, a dog that doesn't have any value.
Sin sentido en la vida.
Without any feeling of worth in life.
Porque cuando tú tienes sentido en tu vida, tú sabes a qué dirección guiarte tú vas.
Because when you have a sense of your value, when you have a sense of your worth, you have a direction in life, you know where you're going, you know what path to follow.
Pero una persona que no sabe a dónde ir.
But someone who doesn't have a clue where they're going.
Imagínense cómo se siente.
Imagine the feelings that they must have of themselves.
Mefiboset era invalorado.
And Mephibosheth was one of these people who had not been valued the way that a person should have
un
been.
Un objeto puesto
treated
ahí.
Like an object laid to one side because of his disability.
Pero ahora.
But right now.
La moneda cambió.
Everything is changing.
Te devolveré todo.
David says, I'm about to give you back everything that is yours.
¿Qué es mío?
Oh, what really is mine?
Si todo el tiempo he crecido en un lugar pobre, miserable.
If I've lived my whole life in that poor and miserable place, what's really mine?
Y Saúl le dice, espera.
And David says, just wait.
¿Y qué dice en el capítulo, en el versículo 9?
And looking at verse 9, David, it says, the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house.
Y en el versículo 10.
And in verse 10 it says, thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and shall bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now, Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants.
Yeah. Le dice, tú vas a trabajar para él. Tú le darás todo lo que coseches a él.
Ziba was told by the king, Ziba, you are now in his employ. You are now and all of your sons and all of your servants, servants of this man, my friend Jonathan's son.
Imagínate que el primer ministro te llame.
Imagine today. Prime Minister, were to call you.
Te llame y te dé cosas que tú nunca has tenido.
And to say to you as ruler or leader of the country, I'm going to give back to you things that you should have had.
¿Cómo cambia tu vida?
When you didn't have anything.
¿Tiene sentido tu vida?
How would your life change? Would your life now have a sense of worth?
Lo tiene.
You'd now have something when you didn't have anything.
Empiezas a sentir valor.
You start maybe to feel yourself valued again.
Empiezas a sentir que eres importante.
You might think that you now have some importance in this world.
Y le dice, y te sentarás a comer en mi mesa.
And it wasn't just a gift of things. It was a gift of presence. Because here, Mephibosheth will now, for the rest of his life, sit at the table of the king.
Imagínate todos los días a las 12 del día irme a la casa del primer ministro y sentarme a esperar que me sirvan.
Imagine the experience of today in our situation being called to go to the country, the leaders of the country's table there every day at noon, sit down and wait to be served by the people who serve them their dinner.
Imagínate.
Imagine the experience of Mephibosheth going beyond just a prime minister but being called to the table of a king.
Todos los mozos, las personas atenderte.
All of the waiters, all of the servants attending to him.
¿Cómo te sientes?
How would you feel?
¿Sientes que eres importante?
You'd feel important.
Nos sentimos importantes.
We'd feel valued.
Alguien que tenga compasión de ti.
That someone had showed compassion.
La vida
you.
Cambia.
The life would change.
Porque las personas que te miran cojo, que no sirves, hay una persona que te mira diferente.
Because despite all of the people who saw your disability, despite all the people who saw you as something, as an object, despite all the people who expressed that you were in without value, you now know that there's somebody who looked down and saw you and valued you for who you were.
Tú vales.
The truth is that you all have value.
Especial.
All of you are special.
No eres el cualquier cojo. Eres Mefiboset. Eres especial, valioso para el rey.
You're not just any cripple. You are Mephibosheth, the son of the prince, the friend of the king.
No eres más el que vivía por esos lugares polvorientos.
You're not the one who used to live out there in the poor ghetto.
Vives ahora cerca del rey.
Because of who you are, you live in the palace of the king.
Qué bonito cambio.
What a beautiful change.
Qué diferencia del sentido de la vida.
What a difference in the way that you would feel in life from A to B.
Pienso que Mefiboset nunca imaginó.
I can imagine that Mephibosheth never had dreamed in his wildest imagination what had just taken place in his life.
Y sentarse con el rey.
And to sit down at the table of the king.
Dejo ahí la historia.
Story we'll leave there.
Ahora vamos a hablar contigo personalmente.
And let's talk about ourselves personally.
Imagínate que tú eres Mefiboset.
Imagine that you are Mephibosheth.
Imagínate que vives en un lugar polvoriento, sin valor.
Imagine that you're the one who lives in that dusty, dirty ghetto where nobody values you.
¿Te estás imaginando?
You imagining? Put yourself there.
Que a veces comes, a veces no comes.
Sometimes you eat, sometimes you don't.
Que a veces donde estás las moscas vienen, hay mucha enfermedad.
Around you is sickness and the smells of disease, flies. It reeks of the poverty, the ghetto situation that you've been in.
Pero tu vida cambia de un momento a otro.
But with one call, your life changes forever.
Igual estamos pasando ahora, igual que Mefiboset.
The truth of the matter is that exactly what happened to Mephibosheth is able to take place to every single one of us.
Porque cuando Dios creó el mundo,
because when God created this world,
lo hizo todo perfecto
He made
y bello
everything perfect and beautiful
para ti y para mí.
For you and for me.
Lo hizo para que nosotros tengamos vida y salud.
He made it so that we would have not only life, but abundant life and abundant health.
Que no haya muerte
that there
ni
would
enfermedad.
Not be any death or any sickness.
Nos hizo príncipes y princesas de su reino.
He made us in his kingdom princes and princesses under the rule of the king.
Pero pasó algo.
But something took place.
Que el pecado entró.
The sin entered into this world.
Y nos quitó todo lo que era nuestro.
And that sin which brought death has taken and robbed everything from us that truly was meant to be ours.
Lo que éramos príncipes ya no lo somos.
The fact that we were called to be princes, sin came in and caused us to be separated from the kingdom so that we didn't live and act like princes and princesses anymore.
No. Vivimos en una tierra de pobreza y enfermedad y de muerte.
Because of sin, we were brought into a world, we were living in a world that is filled with sickness, filled with pain, filled with suffering, and filled with death.
Donde los problemas vienen.
Where the problems overwhelm us.
Donde a veces no sabemos encontrar la
where
solución.
Where we don't know where to look sometimes for the solution to what we're going through.
A veces nos sentimos invalorados.
Sometimes we don't feel that there's any value even to our very lives.
Porque las personas solo miran en ti, en qué fallas, qué tienes de mal para juzgarte.
Because the people around you don't look at you for who you are, they look at you for what you've got. They look at for what you're wearing or for the things that you say or the way you don't say it the right way they think they should.
Y todo a veces no tiene sentido.
And sometimes everything is senseless.
Y a veces a mí me ha pasado que a veces me levanto y digo, ¿qué hago acá?
There's days when I wake up and I wonder, what am I doing here?
¿Qué hago acá?
What do I do?
Yo no debo estar aquí.
I shouldn't be here.
Pero estamos aquí.
But here we are. We're all in it together.
Cada día hay problemas.
Every day there's a problem.
Somos igual que Mefiboset, que nos sentimos perros vagabundos.
And some days, just like Mephibosheth, maybe the same words come out of your mouth that you feel nothing more than a worthless dead dog.
Pero algún día,
but one day,
muy cercano,
a day very close and in our future,
el rey nos llamará.
The king is going to call.
Y te dirá, ¿habrá quedado alguien para yo tener misericordia?
And he's going to say the same words that David said to the servant Ziba. Is there anyone? Anyone that I can show mercy? Anyone that I can show compassion and kindness to?
Y te va a llamar.
And in that day, he's going to call you.
Te va a llamar por tu nombre.
In that day, he's not going to call you as a part of the group. He's going to call you by name.
Y tú vas a ir a la presencia de ese rey.
And in that moment upon his call, you're going to be ushered into the very presence of a king.
Y no te va a importar cómo estás.
And it doesn't matter where you've come from.
Y vas a ir a él.
You're going to go and be with him.
Porque él te va a devolver todo lo
because
que nos quitaron.
Because he has made a promise. And the promise is that everything that had been robbed, everything that had been taken, he is going to return.
Y diremos, aquí estoy.
And there we will say, Lord,
heme aquí.
Here I am.
Y él te dirá, comerás en mi mesa.
And he's going to say, from this day forward, you will eat at the table of the king.
No más habrá muerte y dolor en tu vida.
Never again there's going to be a pain in your life. Never again there's going to be a sorrow or a death.
Porque te sentarás conmigo.
Because you will be in my presence, sitting at the table with me.
Te volveré todo lo que era tuyo en el principio.
I'm going to give you back everything that should have been yours from the very beginning.
¿Y sabes qué significa todo?
And when you know what the, when the Lord says everything, do you know what he means?
No significa, te devolveré salud nomás.
He doesn't just mean he's going to give you back health only.
No, te dice, te devolveré todo.
He says, I'm going to give you back everything.
¿No es una promesa linda?
Isn't that a beautiful promise?
Dios es el mismo ejemplo de David y Jonatán con nosotros.
What we saw in the story of David and Jonathan and what was experienced through their promise is the very thing that we are involved with as well. The same promise has been made to us by God.
La misma amistad que tuvo Jonatán con David, Dios tiene ahora con nosotros.
The same relationship, the same close bond and friendship that David had with his friend Jonathan is exactly and beyond what God wants to have with you and with me.
Y esa promesa que algún día nos hizo que va a regresar.
And that promise that Christ gave in the word that one day he would come again.
Y que va a ser misericordia con nosotros.
And that he would come and show mercy and compassion unto us.
Está cerca.
Is one that is about to be fulfilled.
¿Y qué va a pasar cuando él venga?
And what's going to happen when he comes?
Nos dará todo.
He's already told us. He's going to give back everything that was taken away.
Y nos sentaremos en su mesa.
And you and me will sit together at the table of the king.
Y él te va a decir,
and he himself will say to us,
no tengas miedo.
Don't be afraid.
Ven que estoy dispuesto a devolverte todo.
I am ready to return everything that is yours.
Pero hay una condición.
There's one condition.
Tienes que entregarme tu corazón.
You've got to come to the presence of the king. You've got to come and give him your heart.
Así como te voy a dar todo.
God says, I'm going to give you back everything.
Pero dame tu corazón.
But give me your heart.
Para yo moldearte.
So that I can mold you.
Para yo limarte.
So I can fashion you.
Y para darte la perfecta forma.
And I can make you just the way I want you.
La perfecta forma que te creé en el principio.
The way that I would have made you in the very beginning before the sin came into the world.
Y estaremos perfectos con él.
And then in his presence, perfect in his presence, with him forever.
¿Le quieres entregar tu corazón a Jesús?
The question is, will we give him our hearts?
¿Quieres entregarle?
Do you want to be in his presence? Do you want to give him your heart to be there with him?
¿Quieres?
Do you?
Sí. Entonces, ponte de pie.
If that's your decision today as we close our service, why don't you join us on our feet? Let's stand together. Standing before a king. Standing before the one who will give back everything that has been taken from us.
Vamos a orar.
And let us pray.
Gracias, Señor, por esta historia de David y Jonathan.
Lord, we thank you for the story of David and his friend Jonathan.
Gracias, Señor, por la promesa que tú tienes para nosotros.
Thank you for the promise that you have made with us.
Estamos cansados de este lugar.
Lord, we truly are tired of this place.
Muerte, dolor, problemas, sufrimientos.
Death and pain and sorrow and suffering.
Queremos que tú nos mandes a llamar.
We want, Lord, that the day would be here when you call us to be with you.
Ayúdanos, Señor, a entregar nuestro corazón completo a ti.
Lord, today we ask that you would help us to give our hearts completely and wholly to you.
Ayúdanos, Señor, a estar juntos todos los días contigo.
Father, help there not to be a day that passes by that we aren't united with Jesus.
Y cuando tú nos llames,
and on the day when you call,
poder estar en tu mesa.
On the day when you come to take us home, Father, we want to be there at that table.
Sentándonos contigo.
Sitting in your presence.
Y nos vas a devolver.
Knowing that we are to receive
todo lo que nos fue quitado por el pecado.
Everything that sin had robbed from us.
Toca el corazón de cada persona presente en este día.
Lord, today we pray that your touch would be upon each of our hearts.
Úsanos, Señor.
Lord, take us and use us for yourself.
Que de aquí salgamos con un espíritu victorioso.
Lord, that leaving this place this morning, we would go forward with the spirit, with the attitude of victory.
Si hemos venido con dificultades.
If we have come into this sanctuary today with burdens and difficulties.
Ayúdanos, Señor, a salir nuevas criaturas.
Help us, Lord, to lay them down so that we can leave new people.
Quédate en medio nuestro.
Lord, be with us.
Gracias, Señor.
Thank you, Lord.
Por tu palabra.
For your word.
Por tu mensaje que siempre nos haces ver y entender.
For the message that you give us to help us understand your love.
En el nombre de Jesús.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amén.
Amen.